The next two cases I'm going to talk about deal with CSLI, or cell site location information. One is a statutory claim that our court's looking at. The other is a constitutional claim. Christopher James Holder is the statutory claim, and our court has granted review to determine if, under the Federal Stored Communications Act, the petition that the Plano police submitted to get a court order to seize to acquire these cell phone records from the provider was sufficient enough, that it stated specific and articulable facts. In this case, the petition itself really was very general and said the phone was used by a possible suspect to communicate with unknown persons. So it's about as general as you could get, probably. So this will be a good case that may set at least some sort of parameter on, at least statutorily, what's required under the specific and articulable facts standard. I would note that the remedy, and I think Judge Newell talked about this actually in a case our court decided called Sims, the remedy for violation of the Federal Stored Communications Act or the corollary Article 18.21 for Texas is a civil damages remedy, and that's the exclusive remedy for violation of the statute. Obviously, the appellant wanted the 3823 suppression remedy, but under the statute, that's not an available remedy, so I'm not sure he's going to get much of a victory out of this, depending on what happens with the petition. The second case dealing with CSLI information is back before our court on remand for the United States Supreme Court. This is Jared Hankston, and our court initially addressed the warrantless acquisition of CSLI information and held that the Texas Constitution and the Fourth Amendment provided the same protection and upheld the seizure of this CSLI information from the third-party cell phone provider. This went to the Supreme Court. They remanded it in light of Carpenter, and as you know, Carpenter held that a warrantless seizure of 7 days' worth of cell phone records violated the Fourth Amendment. So now, in Hankston, it was 206 days' worth of cell phone records. Our court's going to have to decide how that's impacted under the Texas Constitution. And then, sticking with search and seizure, but getting away from CSLI, the next case is Nathan Ray Foreman. This is both a warrant case and a plain view case. This is from the Houston Court of Appeals, and it involves an aggravated robbery and an aggravated kidnapping with two real genius con men who sought to run what they called a black money scam on Foreman, who's the appellant. They were trying to sell him construction paper, actually, as money, and they met him in his auto body shop to perform the scam. Well, he figured it out. They were bound and gagged and tortured, thrown in the back of a van. They're seen either falling or jumping out of the back of the van, and police interview at least one of them in the hospital and then acquire a warrant based on what they've told them. Well, what they told them was they had a business deal that was going down in this auto parts or this auto body shop, and so police get a warrant based on this, and then they were obviously tortured and shot. They get a warrant. Included in one of the items listed in the warrant is audiovisual surveillance equipment. Well, there's nothing that, from what they were told, that would have connected any audiovisual surveillance equipment to the auto body shop. So the police go in, and they execute the warrant. They seize three computer drives or hard disks, and appellant files a motion to suppress these. The trial court actually suppresses two of the three. But the one they don't suppress is probably the most important one, was one that was connected to a live feed. So when the police went in to execute the warrant, they could see the TV monitor, they can see themselves on it, and it's hooked up to a hard drive and a computer. So they seize that one. The trial court admits that. The Court of Appeals reverses the convictions, finding none of this was admissible, stating that first, the warrant affidavit is insufficient. There's no nexus to show that would have been probable cause to find audiovisual equipment in the auto body shop. The state's argument before our court is, well, that's kind of common knowledge. They could infer that, I guess, every auto body shop would have surveillance equipment, and therefore that was sufficient under the warrant. The plain view aspect of this is, well, even if the warrant was no good, the live feed seizure of that hard drive should be upheld under the plain view doctrine because it would have been immediately apparent to police, because that's the prong that's really being contested, when they saw a hard drive connected to this video screen, that there's probably, at least probable cause standard, a backup, and indeed there was, and they could see the offense was actually on that hard drive. So our court's going to look at both of those, the plain view aspect and the sufficiency of the warrant affidavit.